This is Radio Superior 1943, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1943. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1943. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS, broadcasting from Superior, Wisconsin, the land of beautiful, and this time of year, frozen lakes. At 6 o'clock Standard Wartime, Tuesday, February 9th, 1943. This is Jack McKenna reminding you to buy war bonds, and tonight you'll have your chance to do that right here over the radio. We're going to have a war bondathon with all of your favorite people. There's George G. Newton, Draft Board Chairman, Raffaele, Bishop William O'Connor, Women's Christian Temperance Union President Margaret O'Connor, and they'll all be here to get you to make that pledge of support to our men and women in the service. And Lou Martin is standing by with the latest war news in the Pacific, Europe, and here at home.
Since when is the Draft Board Chair and the Christian Temperance Union Lady your favorite people? They always pick on you.
Well, tonight, Lou, is a new night. We're going to help the war effort like we've never been able to help before. We've set a goal of $50,000.
Hey, that's a lot of money. What if we don't make the goal?
I said we'd make the goal for as long as it takes us to get it.
I see. The question is it we or me? I trust you didn't volunteer me for this 2 or 3 day marathon.
I wouldn't leave out my best buddy and partner. We'll raise that money in the 30 minutes of our program. We'll be sipping coffee at the Black Cat, as usual, by 8 tonight. Now the 6 o'clock news, sponsored by the National Bank of Commerce in Superior, urging you to buy war bonds. Here's Lou Martin with the 6 o'clock news. Smile. It's a cinch.
If I'd known, I would have brought a change of clothes. Good evening, Jack and listeners. We begin with this historic news. The Allies have won a great victory in the Southern Pacific battle for the Solomon Islands. After 6 months of bitter fighting in some of the worst possible jungle conditions, the Japanese have evacuated Guadalcanal. It's a great victory for the Allies. Japanese Imperial Headquarters announced over Radio Tokyo the withdrawal of its forces from Guadalcanal, quoting now, after their mission had been fulfilled. Secretary of Navy Frank Knox confirmed the report and says all resistance against American troops has ceased. Knox says this victory gives the Americans an air base of critical strategic importance for more advances into Rabaul. He says it also denies the Japanese a base to raid shipping to Australia and ends the immediate threat to that island nation. We begin our world shortwave hookup with the news from Allied headquarters in Australia and correspondent Daryl Berrigan.
Australia calling, Allied headquarters calling, Daryl Berrigan here. History has been made today as the Allies have won their first attempt at pushing the Nipponese fighters from secured bases, forcing their retreat to the northern Solomon Islands. The end of the six-month campaign came as Americans advanced beyond the island village of Iti on the northwest coast of Guadalcanal. The advance put American troops within 5 miles of enemy headquarters at Cape Esperon. This retreat took place under cover of darkness, as virtually all Jap troops were evacuated by sea. Incredibly, Tokyo has only now told its people that they have also pulled out of Bunagona on the Papuan Peninsula in New Guinea. In fact, there was no evacuation as Australian and American troops routed Japanese forces, pushing them into the sea more than 2 weeks ago. That ended a Japanese effort begun last July with an invasion force aimed at Port Moresby and the ultimate NIP goal of invading Australia. With these developments, it appears the zenith of the Jap advance has been reached in the South Pacific. For the first time since the attack on Pearl Harbor 14 months ago, they've been forced backwards on a long road leading back to the Japanese island. This is your correspondent, Daryl Berrigan, reporting, calling Moscow, calling correspondent Eddie Gilmore.
This is Soviet Russia, Eddie Gilmore in Moscow. The Red Army smashed anew at sagging German lines in 3 sectors today after storming into Kursk. Kursk is an enemy anchor point on the Moscow to Crimea rail line. The Reds destroyed the Kursk Army, commanded by Nazi General Schneider. Frontline dispatches tell the story of the Red Army sweeping in on a German citadel from several directions to overwhelm a garrison that had held Kursk since November 11, 1941. One story had Russian soldiers finding Kursk to be an enormous cemetery. Another important German bastion on the rail line held since October of 1941, the steel city of Kharkov, is 125 miles south of Kursk and apparently the next major target of Red Army troops. Mobile and ski units are menacing Kharkov with similar encirclement tactics. The next major conquest looks to be Rostov on the Don, a major port city. Nazi forces are hanging on there by the skin of their teeth, with Red Army troops just 3 miles outside of Rostov. Success of this drive would have a double-edged sword. It would cut off Axis forces from their rear lines, leaving resupply only by air. This is Moscow calling Stalingrad. Come in, Henry Shapiro in Stalingrad.
United Press war correspondent Henry Shapiro reporting. Field Marshal Frederick von Paulus, commander-in-chief of German army destroyed at Stalingrad, may be held responsible for atrocities perpetrated by the Nazis during the siege of the ruined Volga city. It was made known Monday. Major General Ivan Krylov, chief of staff of the Russian 52nd Army, which freed the city, and his chief of staff at Odessa and Sevastopol, was the last man to leave those cities, announced that the Russians had fallen the order of the day, which Paulus signed early in November, ordering the removal of the civilian population to Germany. A Russian atrocities commission is now investigating this matter. Krylov said that he may hold Paulus responsible. Reporting from liberated Stalingrad, this is United Press correspondent Henry Shapiro.
This just in from New Delhi. The largest number of U.S. bombers ever sent against Rangoon in a single day blasted docks and railroad facilities at this important Burma port. This comes hours after the Royal Air Force dropped 30 tons of bombs. The Japanese have held Rangoon for nearly a year. On the wartime home front, shoes are back on sale on a ration basis after a one-day freeze. War Price Administrator Prentice Brown is urging people to use the shoes they have, estimating that 50 million pair lie in closets around the country. Under the new rationing, each person is allowed to buy 3 pair of shoes a year. National Bank of Commerce news time is 6:06. Jack McKenna has a word from our sponsor.
Boy, you wouldn't think they'd ration shoes, Lou.
Well, you're lucky that they don't ration according to shoe size with those size 13s that you've got on.
I'll have you know I have very good balance because of my foot size. How about a loan for taxes and other personal needs, folks? It will soon be time for taxes, yes. Would a loan from this bank help you meet them? A loan conveniently arranged so that you could make repayments out of current income? Perhaps you'd like a loan to clear up all your old obligations, doctor bills, insurance premiums, and so forth, and thus consolidate your debts with one transaction through this bank. If money will help you, we have it to loan, indeed we do, at attractive rates and convenient terms. Stop in to talk it over, and you won't be obligated. And remember, buy U.S. war bonds regularly. That's the National Bank of Commerce in Superior.
An epidemic of scarlet fever has broken out on Madeline Island in Lake Superior's Apostle Islands. News of this outbreak has resulted in a quarantine of the islands, so no one can leave Madeline Island. Anyone who chooses to go to the island must stay there until the quarantine is lifted. Residents of nearby Bayfield on the mainland are fearful the scarlet fever epidemic may spread. Bayfield lost its only doctor during the summer flooding last year. State Health Dr. Marshall Myers of Ashland says that 15 homes have reported cases of scarlet fever on Madeline Island. The Sixth Service Command in Chicago is calling up all college students training for the Air Corps in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Illinois. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Well, this is a hurried call-up, Lou. These students start active duty on February 18th. Superior State Teachers College officials say this will affect 27 of their students in the Army Air Corps. These reservists have been training here on deferred status. But as the war effort needs more aviators, these students have been activated. Also today, men from Douglas County Draft Boards 1 and 2 left for Milwaukee at 8:30 this morning. There they will undergo physical examinations and induction into the armed forces. This is the first contingent from Superior that has draftees for both land and sea forces. After their exams, these men can return home for 7 days furlough, but then they have to report to Camp Grant in Illinois for initial training, Lou.
Well, thank you, Mike. We wish these men and their families Godspeed. Wisconsin Governor Walter Goodland has ordered the state civil defense office staff be drastically cut back. Adjutant General Alvin Kuchenmeister announced the reduction from 46 office staff to 28. Kuchenmeister replaced Defense Council Chairman Ralph Kinsley, who was a carryover from Governor La Follette's administration, and was instrumental in helping keep order during the banking crisis of 1933. And Jack, here's good news for Wisconsin dairy farmers, but probably not good news for you. The Price Administration has authorized an increase in the price of cheese by 3 cents a pound.
Oh, jeez.
I'm afraid it includes your favorites, Munster, Brick, Swiss, Cream, and Limburger cheese. And that's the news, Jack.
Now, you really should warn a guy about bad news like that, Lou.
It would be nice if you would have a hankering for less smelly cheese like Wisconsin's Colby or Monterey Jack. Life at the radio station would be a bit more pleasant.
Fact is, Lou, you have boring taste buds.
My guess is that you have a bad sense of smell.
On with the weather, friends. Really, the news out of Guadalcanal is a great way to kick off our War Bonds fundraiser.
You know, McKenna, the sooner you stop whining over Limburger cheese, which I happen to think is disgusting, we can start selling war bonds.
Exactly right, Mr. Raffaele. Let's get to the business at hand.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to agree, Jack, my son. As we like to say down at the diocese, do you want a little cheese with that wine, Jack? Get it?
yeah, right, Bishop O'Connor. You should be on the radio. Hey, Lou, they're ganging up on little old me. Real quick here now, the forecast for this February the 9th, 1943, is for light snow tonight and a low temperature of 5 below 0. Well, I'll just push on to the music and we can get organized. And then, good listeners, we'll need your payroll deduction pledges for war bonds. Who to better get us underway than Glenn Miller and his orchestra and American Patrol on the Martin and McKenna Show on Station KUWS.
invigorating music of Captain Glenn Miller and his orchestra and American Patrol on station KUWS.
You need to play a few good marches by John Philip Sousa to get the folks really going.
Oh, boy.
But that one's not bad, I gotta say.
Let me introduce Douglas County Draft Board number 2 Chairman R.A. Raffaele, along with Superior Realtor George G. Newton. Superior Diocese Bishop William Patrick O'Connor, and Women's Christian Temperance Union President Margaret O'Connor. They'll try to see who can raise the most in war bonds by the end of the half hour.
Oh, just a little clarification, Lou. Maggie O'Connor isn't a relation.
Not your wife, eh, Bishop?
No scandal here, Jock. You jokester, you.
Excuse me, Your Worship. I'm not one to dilly-do around. I believe in getting right to business, so I'll go first. Hey, all you veterans out there of the First World War, all you gobs, devil dogs, and doughboys, you know who I'm talking to. It's been 25 years since we beat the Kaiser. Now we're going to need you to beat the Hun once again. So call us now at 8530 and make your pledge. Do it for old Blackjack Pershing and say it's for the Colonel.
You're quite the talker, Colonel Raffaele.
He's got lots of experience.
I heard that, McKenna.
Oh.
Now, what the heck was that? You good folks heard that? We need you to pledge more money so we can get a real phone.
Funny phone.
Well, I guess that's a funny phone.
I'm not going to have a phone like that in my office.
Well, anyway, let's make that funny phone ring more. We need you good folks to pledge more than your fair share. I know what they say to take 10% of your pay towards buying war bonds, but that's not enough. You know how much you can afford. Deduct as much as you can. And if we do this thing, we can get the bullets and bombs to the guys who need them. Well, let me get to the point. I'm going to tell it just like it is. I'm asking you... No, strike that. I'm ordering everyone to call now and pledge.
Now, that's unique.
No one can sweet-talk people like the Colonel.
And people think I'm the one who's supposed to scatter people into giving.
Phone's ringing.
Odd as it is.
You can't argue with results.
Here's Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra and the Dipsy Doodle on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS.
A terrible state, like the moon jumped over the cow. Hey diddle, that's the way the dipsy doodle works. When you think that you're crazy, you're the victim of the dipsy doodle. But it's not your mind that's hazy, it's your tongue that's at fault, not your noodle. You better listen and try to be good and try to do all the things that you should. The dipsy doodle will get you someday. You'll think you're crazy, the things that you say, like rhythm got I and how am I. That's the way the dipsy doodle works.
The all-giving music of Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra, with the vocals by Edith Wright and the Dipsy Doodle on station KUWS.
Colonel Raffaele got 22 telephone calls, 11 of them pledging more deductions from their payroll checks. So far, the colonel has raised almost $3,000.
Well, that's just the beginning, men. Get on that horn and call 8530, people.
You said he got 22 calls, but only 11 pledged?
Yeah. What's that all about?
The other 11 said they'd pledge if he will, well, shut up.
Those are the people still jealous of my appointment to colonel by Governor Heal last year.
Heil.
See, Kyle. Okay. Heal, Heil, tomato, tomato. It was a year ago. Give it up, people.
We all do the best we can with what we have, my sons. Now, if I may, I have a story for you of Mr. James Wiley Tooter of Iron River. You might not have heard of this man. He, like many others, volunteered for duty, enlisting in the Navy last September 10th. But friends, Mr. James Wiley Tooter is different from most of the rest. Of all the enlisted men in Wisconsin, he has the most dependents. He has 9 children, and his missus is expecting another.
If I was him, I'd enlist.
Boy, I hear you there, brother.
See here, you two. There's no time for irreverence. Mr. Tooter is a veteran of the First World War, decorated with a Purple Heart and a Silver Star. The man was wounded 5 times in 5 different campaigns.
Now, no offense there, your irreverence. You know, I was one of Black Jack Pershing's boys.
That's right. Call in to pledge to buy war bonds, to sacrifice so many others can live in this struggle against evil. I, too, was in the Great War. They called me Father Bill. Back then, I was just a young man. You know, Jimmy Tooter enlisted with the old Company D of Bayfield County, the same unit headed by H.H. Peavy, who later became congressman to this district, God rest his soul.
If you ask me.
And we didn't.
The real hero of the story is Mrs. Tooter.
Ethan Begora, this is not the truth. Jimmy Tooter ran a sawmill. He made wooden boxes that fishermen along the South Shore would buy to put their catch in and send to market. I'm told she's running the sawmill while he's gone to war.
Wait. You mean to tell me she's expecting a baby, she's got a brood of 9 already, and she's running a sawmill? Folks, that's it. I'm overwhelmed. For the first time in my life, I'm speechless.
Speechless means you don't talk. That you're quiet.
So almost speechless.
You don't know our George G. Newton.
My mind is boggled. Hey, this is true, Bishop O'Connor?
That's part of my job requirement, to tell God's honest truth, sir. You know, the lassie keeps a good humor about her, too. She says her husband wrote to her to tell her that all the other sailors stationed with him in Cuba call him Pepe.
He's in Cuba.
Good beaches, warm weather.
Great cigars.
Good night's sleep.
Come to think of it, sometimes the folks left behind are the real heroes. I'd like to encourage all the folks out there to buy more war bonds for both Mr. and Mrs. James Tooter.
Best of luck to the gallant Jimmy Tooter. But good listeners, this one's for Mrs. Tooter. From 1940, Frank Sinatra's first big hit, singing with the Pied Pipers, and appropriately enough, I'll Never Smile Again, on station KUWS.
I'll never
For the mother of nine, and another on the way, Mrs. James Tooter of Iron River. And that was Frank Sinatra and the Pied Pipers, and I'll Never Smile Again with Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra on the War Bond-a-thon on KUWS. That number was a number one hit for 12 weeks in 1940.
We're doing pretty good here, Jack. The generosity of people at the head of the lakes is great. We've had pledges from Joe in Bayfield, who is with Company D and remembers Jimmy Tootor and says that he's no dummy. And Bob called from Duluth, and Jane from South Range. She just got work at the Butler Shipyard, so she has more than she can give. Bishop O'Connor.
You can call me Father Bill. This reminds me of the old days of everyone chipping in.
Okay, then. Father Bill had 40 telephone calls and pledges of almost $9,000. Our total now is $14,000 in pledges to add war bond deductions or buy them at your local bank.
We've got a ways to go to get $50,000, Lou.
Well, let's see what George G. can do.
Well, once again, at your service, gentlemen. This is George G. Newton of the George G. Newton Realty and Insurance Agency. I have an office right here on Tower Avenue in the Telegram Building. And I got some sweet deals, folks.
George!
This guy bugs me even more than you, McKenna.
I'm getting to it. I'm getting there. We got a full-page ad in the Superior Evening Telegram. This here is a real doozy. This ad has got 48 sponsors. 48 sponsors there on the bottom of the page, one for each state in our glorious union. It's great. Now, I'm going to read you just a couple paragraphs here. It says, "Yes, Dr. Goebbels, one day nearer to defeat." Every day the Nazis are finding out how we Americans really feel about this war, how we're all in it, how we all have a brother or a son or a friend in the armed forces, and how we're all working for victory, how we're all buying war stamps and bonds. But the point is, are we buying enough? At the moment, there's a lot of us who ought to be on the payroll savings plan who aren't. And though a lot of people are investing more than 10%, a lot of us are doing less than we should. Now, the ad goes on. But look, you got to call us here at the radio station to pledge your support for those men and women serving our country. And you tell them George G. Newton sent you.
Very nicely done, George.
We've got one more shot at making the 50 grand goal. I hope she shows.
Mrs. O'Connor will be here. She's a rock.
So I heard. On with the music, good listeners. Here's a brand new number by Harry James and his orchestra. The incomparable Helen Forrest sings, "I've heard that song before," on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody.
Music to buy war bonds to, and dance, and all kinds of stuff. That'll be one of the big hits of 1943, I can assure you of that. Helen Forrest singing I've Heard That Song Before with Harry James and his orchestra on station KUWS. Is she here yet, Lou?
I think I hear the sound of sensible shoes coming down the hall. George, you raised a nice $4,000 with 14 pledges from 15 calls.
Do I ask what the other call was?
Mrs. George G. Newton wants you to bring home some milk and bread.
She expects him to remember all of that.
And now let me introduce Mrs. Margaret O'Connor, president of the Northern Wisconsin chapter of the Women's Christian Temperance Union.
Our last hope.
She looks like she could go a long way to terrorizing the Hun.
She does always manage to put a chill in the air.
Bless my soul, you boys better zip it or there'll be trouble.
That's quite all right, Bishop O'Connor. I've had to deal with ragamuffins like this before. It's not easy, leading a temperance union. I'm not running a popularity contest.
Good thing, lucky thing, I'd say.
See here, we've gone round and round since the days of Prohibition. Jack McKenna and Lou Martin.
I didn't say anything, it was Jack.
But he told me to say it.
I am here to help. And forgive me, Bishop.
You wouldn't be the first to ask me that.
Here, sisterhood will rise to the occasion. Many of us can no longer stay at home to raise our children, but have to go out to work and take the place of our husbands, sons, and brothers who are putting their lives on the line overseas. That means many of us suddenly are earning paychecks and have plenty to give. And unlike you men, I did some preparation before I got here. Now, ladies, you may call in. The ladies in charge of groups A through G may call first, then H through M, N through N, and S through Z may call in that order.
I'll tell you what, Colonel Raffaele. If Governor Heil can make you a colonel, then Governor Goodlin should make Mrs. O'Connor a general.
I'm impressed.
A through G have already pledged $10,000.
Hey, who cares who got the most? It's great. Can make our goal any minute now and not have to be here overnight.
I was not looking forward to spending that much time with McKenna.
Whoa.
Groups H through M just pledged $12,000. We need another $14,000 to make our goal.
Thank the heavens, Mrs. O'Connor.
It's time people not think of women who get things done as being like a man. We're just people, efficient people. And leave it at that, gentlemen.
N through R just pledged $15,000 in war bonds.
Hey, that's great.
That's wonderful.
I say we head out to the Gitchy Nadgy Club and celebrate. Or wait. Why can't we go there?
You stepped on my tongue.
I'm sorry. I managed to get out Gitchy Nadgy Club.
Mrs. O'Connor, let me be the first to congratulate you and your hard-working women.
That's wonderful.
I say we head out to the Gitchy Nadgy Club and celebrate.
They don't call it the gay spot of the Northland for nothing, and I feel gay.
Mrs. O'Connor, the first round is on me.
Oh, now this should be interesting.
Colonel, remember who you're talking to.
I'm not a stick in the mud, gents. You can buy me a cup of tea, Colonel.
Now, this should be really interesting.
Well, S through Z just phoned in. Another $15,000. We passed our goal by $16,000.
All for a good cause, Lou, and good listeners, you made it happen. Hey, Colonel, everyone, even George, raised more money than you.
Now, I've been told that sometimes the Colonel comes off a little gruff. Maybe you could teach me a few jokes or something.
I can give you some tips on achieving popularity.
Say goodnight, everyone.
good night to all of you. Thanks a lot.
We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial.
The good Lord willing.
And the creek don't rise.
For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna speaking, and good night.
You have been listening to Radio Superior 1943, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Foreign correspondent Daryl Berrigan is played by Paul Guggenheimer. Other performances by Kathy Loxo, Al Katz, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Joel Anderson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1943 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior 1943. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.
We'd like to dedicate this episode of Radio Superior to longtime listener Herb O'Brien of Finland, Minnesota. A veteran of the Korean conflict, Herb O'Brien passed away recently.
And also to the memory of Radio Superior cast member Bill Stock. His excellent sense of humor and Scandinavian accent will be missed.